The Rock is one single solitary man. He's a larger-than-life, extremely charismatic, delusional movie star who came in and showed me, the WWE champion, an incredible lack of respect. First off, he interrupted me, which is something nobody should ever do. He interrupted me, and when he went into his little tired shtick with Daniel Bryan, he acted as if I wasn't even in the ring. I was almost invisible to him. And then when he does what I can only imagine in his brain is lowering himself to talk to me, he tells me that he's been gifted with a championship match at the Royal Rumble. And he acts as if he's just going to take my championship from me. The respect he didn't show me, I showed him right then and there, because he's lucky I didn't drop him on the spot. He's fortunate that I didn't hurt him right then and there. And then at the end of the night, Dwayne does what Dwayne does best, and he tries to make the show all about him. He tries to make Raw's 1,000th episode all about him. And that's exactly when I showed him the kind of man he's dealing with come Royal Rumble, because this is not a popularity contest. This is not ballet. This is the WWE, and I am its champion.
Where you been? Where you been all my life?
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live, your source for news, views, and opinions on everything wrestling, from the big leagues to the local scene. Now, here's James McDonald and Corey Callahan.
Friday, August 3rd, 2012, and hell must have frozen over because, yeah, the rumors are true. Smack Talk Radio Live, back on the air. I'm Corey Callahan, sitting next to the guy who wants to say something, James McDonald.
Finally, Smack Talk has come back to your airwaves.
James, how you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing very well. It's a beautiful Friday night here in Vancouver, BC, and I can't think of a better way to spend it. And sitting in the Smack Talk studios talking wrestling with you, my friend.
It is hot in the Smack Talk studios. The weather outside is gleaming through the window, and it is cooking in here.
Well, I'm just glad that we are actually getting a summer this year, because I don't know if you remember last year, but we didn't actually get any nice weather like this until almost mid-August, late August.
There were the doubters, for sure, that were wondering what the weather would be like this summer. Would it be a hot and spectacular summer like it usually is in Vancouver? And tonight, it's delivering for sure.
Absolutely.
So Smack Talk Radio Live, we've been off the airwaves since June 21st.
God, that's almost 6 weeks, man.
Crazy.
People must be going nuts.
There's a good reason for it, though. And I'm blaming the weather in a way, because what happened was one of the computers that we used to broadcast this radio show, the hard drive just died on us, and we lost everything.
Just massive technical problems.
And the only thing I can say to possibly explain that is maybe the heat caused my computer to overheat.
Yes, that's what we'll go with. It was the heat. Damn you, summer, for not allowing us to produce Smack Talk shows.
It was just ridiculous what we had lost in terms of content and material off the computer. I mean, we've essentially rebuilt this show from the ground up all over again. So it took us some time. Not to mention my own personal company, I lost everything. All my invoices, all my contact information.
Brutal.
So I spent most of the time trying to figure that part out. And then I dealt with the radio show, because let's face it, James, money's a little more important than the radio show.
You gotta get paid, my friend. You gotta get paid.
But regardless, Smack Talk Radio Live back on the air. Now, to find this radio show, you gotta head on over to www.smacktalkradiolive.com. or join in on facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And by now, I'm sure you're hip and cool to the scene at SRL Radio on Twitter. James, it's been a whirlwind of a period of time, I guess I should say, with the WWE since we last left the audience on June 21st. Where do we even begin?
Yeah, you know, when we last left back at the end of June there, we were just coming out of the No Way Out pay-per-view. And the big main event in that pay-per-view was, if you remember, John Cena and Big Show in that cage match.
Yes.
And if Big Show lost, then John Laurinaitis would be fired as the general manager of both Raw and SmackDown. That show also had Kane and Daniel Bryan and CM Punk in a triple threat for the WWE Championship. And it also had the big challenge by Triple H to Brock Lesnar for this year's SummerSlam. So
that's right.
That was pretty much where we left off.
There is one good thing to come out of No Way Out that I enjoyed, and that was the fact that for once the WWE lives up to a firing, at least on TV anyways, with John Laurinaitis. John Laurinaitis apparently had gotten fired. I remember he came out that next night.
He came out and made a match on Monday Night Raw, if you remember.
Which you and I both said was absolutely ridiculous.
That, yeah, did not make any sense at all.
But he is no longer on TV. They have sort of lived up to the fact that John Laurinaitis is no more. I gotta say, I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You don't see the WWE do that very often. But personally, I think we're going to see John Laurinaitis come back on the air in some way, shape, or form here. I don't know if it's going to be sooner rather than later, but I don't know if you know or not, but his duties behind the scenes have actually been scaled back quite a bit.
No, he's no longer the vice president of talent relations, as I'm aware.
So now he's just a producer helping talent, I believe, at live shows.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen the last of John Laurinaitis because still wrestling dark matches after Monday Night Raw goes off the air. So he's still in the picture, but he's just not on television.
They did invest quite a bit into his character when he was the general manager.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they actually followed through with a on-air firing, but I'll applaud him on that one. But since June 21st, James, a ton has gone on. I mean, we had the Raw 1000th episode. But before we dive into the specifics of what has happened, because, you know, tonight would be a good opportunity to recap just where we left off and try and catch ourselves up to now.
Yeah.
But just general thoughts on professional wrestling, WWE specifically, since June 21st.
Well, since June 21st, I really have to admit, Corey, I think the WWE's product has not been the greatest. It hasn't really been interesting. And yet, on the flip side, I've been finding, well, I don't know about you, but I've been paying attention to TNA a lot more lately, actually. And I've been finding that their product has actually been the opposite. And it's actually been getting a lot better and a lot more logically written, I guess, since they've gotten rid of Vince Russo. So it's kind of weird. I never thought I'd really see that.
Safe to say that they're capitalizing on WWE's not so much downfall, but misfortunes you could possibly
say. I wouldn't say they're capitalizing on it. I think they're just really focusing on making their product better. I think going live on Thursday nights has really helped Impact.
Excellent idea.
Absolutely. I really hope that they don't stop going live after the summer's over. I hope they continue because it's been night and day with the performers and their matches. They just, they go out there, they work harder, and it's just overall, it's a much more, I find, entertaining show than it was because everybody's on their toes now that it's live, right? You can't go back and refilm something on live TV, obviously.
So you liking TNA a little more, where does that put WWE in your thoughts? Are you just not a fan of the current product? Are you yelling at the television? Are you applauding them?
Was one thing, and you know what this is, that made me yell at the television here recently.
Well, we're going to get to it.
Yeah.
But just overall general feeling, do you like WWE television at this point in time?
I'm a little bit lukewarm, I'll be honest. I wasn't as hot on it as I was, say, coming out of WrestleMania, going into Extreme Rules. It's kind of taken a little bit of a downturn. I mean, that's to be expected with the summertime and everything like that. But it did kind of pick up a little bit going into the 1000th episode of Raw, which they did make a big deal about. And I personally feel they delivered on. But again, we'll get to that.
Well, and that was my next question. Just general thoughts on the 1000th episode of Raw. You did enjoy it?
I enjoyed it very much. I thought they did a very good job. I felt they delivered.
See, now, in my opinion, since June 21st, I'm going to go opposite of you. I am not liking the WWE product which probably is no surprise.
No, I do know this.
But, you know, you and I, we sat there and we still continued to watch WWE week in and week out while we were on this little hiatus. And I believe I've said to you numerous times in the last 6 weeks that I feel like my love for wrestling is disappearing.
Yeah, it's all.
They are slowly deteriorating my love for this industry, and if you want me to put a finger on what exactly it is, I could, and I think a lot of people would disagree with me, but that is John Cena. I am absolutely
really
hating John Cena in every aspect of the word. I want him off television. I want him gone from the company. I think he represents everything that is wrong with professional wrestling. Now, obviously, they're never going to get rid of John Cena. And obviously, he does a lot of right for the world of professional wrestling. I mean, he is one of the hardest working guys on the roster.
That's just what I was going to refute you with, but go ahead.
Yeah, and, you know, he travels constantly. I mean, I don't know if the guy even takes a day off. Everything he does outside of the squared circle obviously is beneficial for the WWE. The guy is a poster boy of what a WWE worker should be. But on television, I just think that John Cena represents everything that's wrong.
Yeah.
His over-the-top, corny, goofiness, cheesy acting. It is just spewing.
I do agree with you there. You know, I am very disappointed that we didn't see a change and a growth in John Cena's character after the big WrestleMania match with The Rock. Yeah.
It's just spewing. It's just spewing bad acting. It's just admitting that professional wrestling is over-the-top and I hate to use it, but the word fake. To me, John Cena makes wrestling look fake.
But you know what? Again, it all really comes down to what the WWE's target market is, right? Their target market isn't guys like you and me. It's the younger kids.
Gotta keep us interested.
No, I do agree with you. I mean, like, look at CM Punk, for example. The guy's been the WWE champion, almost a year now, which really, in the last 5-6 years, is kind of something that's unheard of.
I do too.
I really like that.
But what bothers me about CM Punk is everything he's doing is overshadowed by John Cena.
Yes, that's just what I was going to get at. In his entire reign that he's had so far, he's never been the main event on a pay-per-view.
I know.
It's always been John Cena. Now, I think they're going to play into that in a storyline angle, which, of course, we'll get into in a little bit here, but yeah, you're right.
I couldn't believe at the last pay-per-view that they had John Cena winning the Money in the Bank ladder match as the main event, when, to me, the big selling point of Money in the Bank pay-per-view was the Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk with AJ special.
And how was AJ, and which way was AJ going to go? Yes.
That
should have been the main event.
That was a WWE championship match with a solid backstory to go with it.
Yes.
There was hype behind that match. And to me, that should have been the last match on the show. But no, we have John Cena doing the expected. I think everyone predicted that Cena was going to walk out the Money in the Bank champion, and he did.
Well, look who was in that match. I mean, was there any question?
But what I'm saying is he's just, he trumps all. And it's really getting to me. And it's to the point where I'm not wanting to watch wrestling anymore.
Yeah, you know what? It's. I think I heard someone call it the Hulk Hogan effect.
It
was the exact same thing with Hogan, if you remember, back in the late 80s and early 90s.
Yes.
It was all Hogan and nobody else. And
what's the advantage to having that much John Cena?
But the thing is, Corey, John Cena puts, you know, butts in the seats, and he sells tickets. And that's...
I know, but you're setting yourself up for disaster down the road when you've had no other superstars that are building.
And that's the next thing I was going to talk about, was the WWE's seeming inability to make new stars and to build up new, like, main eventers that could be on the same level as John Cena. I mean, we're seeing... personally, I feel that CM Punk is kind of on the same level now.
Yeah, but he's still below.
Yeah.
And Cena makes sure that Punk doesn't go higher than Cena.
Cena will always be number one. As long as Cena's around, he'll always be number one. Whether he's the champion or not, let's face it, he's always going to be number one.
And that bothers me.
He sells the most merchandise. B, he fills the seats. And
that's
what it comes down to, right? It all comes down to who makes the most money for you.
Now, in terms of the 1,000th episode of Monday Night Raw, you said you really enjoyed it.
I did.
I'm going to go a little opposite of you and say that I was kind of let down. I didn't feel like nothing was outstanding. I mean, I knew The Rock was going to be involved at the end. I would say the biggest head-turner for me was the fact that Punk had laid out The Rock with a clothesline at the end of the show.
Yeah, that was the big surprise.
But, you know, in terms of returning superstars, it wasn't that great.
No.
I mean, we saw the same superstars that were defeating Heath Slater with the weeks leading up to the 1000th episode of Raw, but I didn't see anything that was like really mind-blowing to me.
Or somebody that just, you know, made your jaw drop, like, wow, I haven't seen this guy in forever type
no,
thing.
No, I just, nothing to me felt...
Vader and Sid a little bit, like heading into the 1000th Raw when we were doing this whole program with Heath Slater taking on all the legends. I did get mark out a little bit for Vader and Sid, but the other guys...
Marked out for what Lita was wearing.
Yes, Lita. Yeah.
She's the best-looking returning legend of them all.
I will throw my agreement in that hat for
sure.
No,
but to me, there was nothing that was really... They hyped it up to be the best Raw that we would have seen in years. And I just felt like it was okay. Nothing to me really made my jaw drop. I mean, I'm sorry, but when the Nexus angle was formed, that to me was more... that to me was a better Monday Night Raw than what we had saw on this 1000th episode. Yeah. My opinion. What about... The Rock and CM Punk and what they've got going on.
Do you think CM Punk's going to hold the title all the way? Well, like, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here, I think.
Okay, well, where do you want to start then?
All right, well, why don't we start with the whole CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, AJ program heading into the 1000th episode of Raw.
I have to say this. I really enjoyed what they had done all the way up until the 1000th episode of Raw. And then when we got to the 1000th episode and we had the wedding with AJ and Daniel Bryan, to me, that was a disappointment. A complete letdown for a feud that had gone on for a solid 2 months and was really well done.
I thought they really should have saved that for SummerSlam and made that like a big thing happening at SummerSlam, because that would have made the pay-per-view...
The whole thing happened so
a little
fast.
More interesting.
The wedding that took place on Monday Night Raw happened so fast, and there was no drama, there was no suspense. It was like the two came out there, they said their lines, McMahon had walked out, made her the general manager, and then that was it. The wedding lasted, I never timed it with a stopwatch or anything, but I swear the wedding lasted all of 5 minutes.
I think it was a little bit longer than that, but I kind of see what you're getting.
If that
here.
Was going to be the ultimate payoff for what happened after all these months of build, I thought it was very disappointing.
No, I think they should have saved it, like I said, for SummerSlam, and then maybe build up the whole road to the wedding a little bit more. Maybe have like a bachelor party or a bachelorette party or something like that.
Match made in heaven. They should have reenacted that whole storyline.
Exactly. It could have made SummerSlam way bigger, because as far as I'm concerned right now, I'm not very excited for SummerSlam, which we'll talk about in a little bit here. But
all right.
Next thing, let me ask you about, what do you think about Sheamus' reign as World Heavyweight Champion?
I am completely bored with Sheamus.
You've never...
No. I've never been a
Sheamus. If you go back and listen to other episodes of this show, you've never been a Sheamus
fan. I want him to lose that belt, and I want him to fade into the darkness, but it's not going
to
happen.
I'm kind of warming up to Sheamus a little bit. I think he's a good worker.
He's a good worker, but every single one of his matches are the same. And when was the last time you saw Sheamus take a really high-risk bump or did something out of the ordinary that was making the crowd, go, wow? He delivers the moves to other people, and he has no problem being stiff with other guys in the ring. But when was the last time you saw Sheamus take a sick bump or do something that really... stands out? Every match of his is cookie cutter.
This week's Monday Night Raw, in that match against Daniel Bryan.
It was a decent match, but I'm sorry. No, that's not
enough. When Daniel Bryan knocked him off the ramp, that was a rough bump, man. I remember going, holy, that probably hurt.
Yeah, but I don't know. I
see what you're getting at.
He's not exciting to me.
Yeah, he's lacking that excitement, but I don't know. Personally, I'm kind of starting to warm to Sheamus.
He's got the look, and I know why they like him. I understand why they like him. I'm just saying, for me personally, not the biggest Sheamus fan. That's all.
I think he's got the right friends in the back, too, personally. But
well, you know he does. What else he got?
Well, what about the revolving door of past Raw general managers? Let's get into this one.
Because
this is where I get to be angry.
Well, let me just preface it by saying this. For months, that might even been a year, we were all left wondering just who was the anonymous general manager.
Yes, that's what really ticks me off, and that's what really soured me on the whole WWE product.
And in
lately.
A 3-minute segment a few weeks back, we have our answer of just who the anonymous general manager has been all this time. And I gotta say, and I'm sure you'd agree with me, it was beyond disappointing.
Disgusting.
What is it? minute. Wait a minute. Hornswoggle? Are you telling me you're the one that's been causing all of this misery? I ought to put you over my knee and give you a spanking.
And this would be the point where he kicks Jerry Lawler in the shin.
And this would be the point where I'm standing up and screaming at the TV. I think we were watching this Raw together.
And then he goes on to kick Michael Cole in the shin. And there you go, James. The new, well, not the new, but the finally unveiled Raw Anonymous General Manager turned out to be this man, Hornswoggle. Take it away.
This just screams laziness in all aspects by the WWE creative team. Like, what do you take us for? Idiots here?
This will go down. Man, this is another example as to why wrestling is dying inside me. Because
Jesus Christ.
The thing is that Vince knows damn well that this is going to be the biggest travesty. Yet, he almost gets off on doing this to the fans. And what really pisses me off is that the fans still come back for more, and they're still buying their tickets, and they're still sinking their dollars into this company when they are plainly insulting you with this result of who the Raw Anonymous General Manager is. In my opinion,
you hit it right on the horn there.
In my opinion, I'm not even considering at this point going to WrestleMania 29 in New York, because that is just insulting to me. I don't want to give them another dollar, because Vince is laughing at the fact that everyone still comes back when they put out this shit content.
I cannot remember the last time I was literally angry, angry at what they've shown us on TV here. I was fuming.
And what advantage is there to by making Hornswoggle the Raw General Manager?
There's none.
They're basically just killing an angle that they started with. And again, we've seen this numerous times. They start an angle and they have no idea how it's going to finish.
They have no idea where they're going with it. And that's exactly what naming Hornswoggle the Anonymous General Manager was. They had no idea who it was going to be or where they were going to go with it. So they're like, let's just wrap this up with a nice little bow and we'll call Hornswoggle the Anonymous Raw General Manager. Who cares what the fans think? And I think if you even go back and you listen to past episodes of SmackDown or Smack Talk, I think I even said, I hope whenever they do announce whoever this general manager is, I hope it isn't something stupid like Hornswoggle. And
there it is.
There we go.
It's embarrassing and it's disgusting and it's insulting.
It makes me feel embarrassed to be a professional wrestling fan when I see garbage like that.
Well,
like,
who would you have liked to have seen?
Anybody but Hornswoggle.
I know. And that's the
anybody.
Answer. That's the answer. Ugh. It could have been anyone. And Vince knew that by putting Hornswoggle as that person, we're all going to hate it, but we're still going to come back. Like, it's... I'm sorry. We should all be boycotting WWE after that announcement. It's true.
It's terrible. I've never been so angry at something that WWE has done.
What a collapse of another great possible storyline.
They could have gone so many different ways with this Anonymous General Manager thing, but nope, they just, they had no idea and they wanted to quickly brush it under the rug, so...
So in terms of General Manager now, we have a new one, which is AJ.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on, first of all, how they introduced AJ as the General Manager and how do you think she'll do in that role?
I think AJ in the general manager role is going to get tiring very quick.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the real big selling point on AJ is she's this cute little girl who runs around in short skirts and the sneakers and, skips around, right? And now she's coming out in these power suits. I mean, it's only been a week, so, obviously the report card's not out yet, but...
I think it's an opportunity for Vince to give AJ lots of camera time, because there's no denying the fact that Vince was loving what AJ was doing.
They're very, very high on AJ.
Very high on AJ. So this is an opportunity to give her that face time on television. Now, do I think she fits that role? No, because her sadistic, psychotic-looking mentality, to me, just won't work in this role. She now needs to shift from that to being...
A person of authority.
And I don't know. It doesn't fit. I understand why they did it, but to me, it doesn't fit. And I think that'll eventually kill off the momentum that AJ had going for her.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go with it. But
what they wanted to do, apparently, on the 1,000th episode of Raw was, at the wedding, if you notice, Daniel Bryan's groomsmen, they were all wearing white. And this, the rumor was that this segment got cut short because they were...
Time constraints. Yeah.
But the groomsmen were actually going to be like mental ward doctors or nurses.
Oh, yeah.
And they were, and Daniel Bryan was going to marry AJ, and that would give him the okay to put her in a mental institution, and those guys would take her away.
I see. I also heard a rumor, too, that AJ, as her first edict as the general manager, she was actually going to give Rock his title match at the Royal Rumble, but that got... Mm-hmm. That got scrapped again because of
Well, you know The Rock's going to be wrestling at Royal Rumble. They're not going to say it and then go back on his word.
No. But the whole storyline was going to be AJ was going to give him that title match at the Royal Rumble instead of just him coming out and saying, I've got this title match at the Royal Rumble, right?
I just think that this general manager role will kill the momentum of AJ slowly. It'll be a slow deterioration. But this all this heat or all this momentum that she had for the last 2 months... It's going to fade off with this new role, and I think that's a mistake.
Speaking of general managers, they just announced Booker T now as the new general manager of SmackDown. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't like it because No, I don't. Why? Because I was warming up to him on commentary. I liked him on commentary. He's just got those ridiculously bad one-liners as a commentator that... Originally,
and you don't think you're going to see more of them as him? As I'm totally loving Booker T as a general manager because Booker T is one of these guys. If you give him a clearly defined role, he's going to take it and he's going to run with it. Like, look when he won the King of the Ring. I personally believe Booker T was the best King of the Ring ever because that whole King Booker character, I mean, that was great.
No, I know.
Like, revived his career.
He'll do a good job, but he was just warming up in the commentator seat. Why kill that now?
Because, I don't know, maybe him and Michael Cole are button heads or something like that.
Maybe.
Who knows? Maybe there's something backstage or...
That's the only thing I don't like about Booker T being the general manager is that he's no longer going to be commentating because, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying it, but I liked him as a commentator.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I was starting to warm up with him too, but I think he's going to do a very good job as general manager.
What else can we talk about here? Do we even dare to move on to what John Cena has been doing as of late?
Oh, man. Well, I'm in every main event.
Well, let's just pick it up with this. For Money in the Bank, he claims that he is going to be the man that wins Money in the Bank. And John Cena delivers at the pay-per-view and actually picks up the briefcase. Well, you know, it broke off the
My chain. Initial thoughts on that were I thought it was very odd that they only had four people in that match.
I thought that was very disappointing. I can't figure out why they would have done that, but I don't know. Regardless, Cena winning Money in the Bank, cashing it in, taking on CM Punk, and actually becomes the first guy to actually not successfully win a championship when he cashes in his Money in the Bank.
But of course, it was a DQ loss to make him, you know, continue making him look strong, right?
Hey, would you expect any difference?
It's just John Cena we're talking about here, right?
Well, I just hated that Cena even won the Money in the Bank. I didn't want to see him win. Money in the Bank is supposed to be an opportunity to develop a new star.
Yeah, that's how you build new guys.
That's what was so beautiful about the SmackDown Money in the Bank. You had all these new faces that were earning a shot at a WWE title, and these guys were putting their heart and soul into it. And in the end, we have a possible new superstar with Dolph Ziggler.
Hey, our favorite guy. Maybe he's finally getting the push he deserves.
But my point is the attraction of the Money in the Bank is that it's an opportunity to build a new star. Kind of like what the Royal Rumble used to be.
And kind of what King of the Ring used to be, yeah.
But now you have John Cena just taking it away from everyone else on the roster and winning it for himself. And you know damn well the only reason John Cena won that Money in the Bank briefcase was for 10 years down the road, we can all look back and say, John Cena had this many titles and this many Royal Rumble victories, and he was a Money in the Bank winner, and blah, blah, blah. That's the only reason why. For stats. For John Cena's personal stats.
Corey Callahan loves John Cena.
Oh, my God. It pisses me off that he's taking that away from someone else.
Yeah, I don't understand their logic behind that, but...
And then for what? The next week on Raw, he faces CM Punk and he loses it, and there goes your main event of the pay-per-view, out the window, right there. 2 weeks later, he cashes in, doesn't even win the belt, and that was it. At least with Ziggler, they're, you know, they're going to delay it a little mm-hmm. bit, and they're going to build him up, and he's going to use that briefcase as bragging rights, and, you know, it's adding to his character,
well, yeah,
and he can be even more flamboyant
yes.
and more cocky with that briefcase in his hand.
Well, hopefully this will elevate him up into that upper tier, you know, and finally make him one of the main event guys, because God knows they need to start building more.
They have no stars.
They got to start building more main event
they
guys.
Have nothing, and it's all because everyone is in John Cena's
and
shadow.
It just it's shocking to me, because that used to be one of the best things WWE was known for, was making guys, making these stars. But now it's, you know what I think they need to do? I think they need to make another stable kind of like Evolution, where you got a guy who's, you know, he's a main event star. You got a guy who's a legend. Then you got two guys who are, you know, up and comers. I think that's what they need to do again, is have one of those kind of stables that will build some guys up and make them into Batistas and make them into Randy Ortons, you know?
But you know who will be the leader of that stable?
Oh, John Cena.
It's true, though. Like, you can't. You cannot succeed in today's
so we'll
WWE
like a,
as
we'll
long
a,
as he's there.
We'll have, like, a babyface Evolution stable to build up some new guys.
Probably. Like, it's just, I don't know.
I think that's what they need to do. I think they need to start making some stables to build some guys up, you know?
Now, what about Cena heading into SummerSlam? He's apparently going to be taking on CM Punk and The Big Show.
Well, before we talk about SummerSlam, why don't we talk about the big 1,000th episode?
Well, I thought we already have.
Oh, we're just picking in. We're just picking
I'm just
away.
Picking away.
Oh, okay. If we're going
we
that
have
way.
No structure here.
Okay, right? Fine. If we're doing it that way, then yeah, let's talk about SummerSlam.
Well, I just want to know, like, Cena, Punk, Big
Cena,
Show.
Cena, Punk, and Big Show. Yeah, it's kind of interesting now that we're seeing CM Punk play this kind of tweener now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's obviously more heelish than he's been in the past. I mean, like, this week on Raw, he's complaining about people not respecting him and stuff, and that's obviously a heel tactic. You never see babyfaces do that. So you got a babyface, you got your heel, and then you got your tweener in this match. Personally, I'm not very...
Not interested?
I'm not very interested. It's...
I think that they should not have Big Show in the picture at all.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it should have been just John Cena versus CM Punk, and that would have been a way... That, to me, would have been a way more exciting match.
I'm thinking that they're thinking is, we've already seen that match at last year's Money in the Bank. But here is what I would have done differently. And to me, this will be... an incredible way to build a new star, to sell a secondary match at SummerSlam, and just to make everyone happy. This is what I would have done.
What's that?
CM Punk clotheslines The Rock at the 1,000th episode there.
Yeah.
Comes out and says the focus hasn't been on the champion, you know, which is him, and that wrestling is in a bad state because of it. We're focusing on The Rock and blah, blah, blah. And then bring John Cena into the mix. And just... CM Punk should just say exactly what I've been saying on this show, and that's, I am overshadowed by The Rock
and John Cena.
I
kind of think that's the direction they're going to go in.
And
here,
he should make mention of the fact that since Punk has been champion, we've barely been given an opportunity to have him shine. Like, it's been the Cena show since Punk's been champion, and Punk can use that to his advantage to build this storyline, saying, you know, I'm going to show the world why it's not about John Cena, and it's not about The Rock. And
well,
at SummerSlam, I'm going to start with John Cena.
I think
at
that's
Raw
gonna
Rumble,
the way they build it,
I'm going to finish with The Rock.
Yeah.
But by having the Big Show involved, get him out of there. He's done. His momentum is killed. He should not be in that match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, his momentum to me was kind of killed after No Way Out when he lost that cage match, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, what's he doing there?
Yeah.
Like, even when he came out, when The Rock ran down at the 1,000th episode and Big Show's in the ring, I'm thinking to myself, why is the Big Show here? He shouldn't even be in there.
Yeah, well, they had to find some way to make it a dirty finish at the end of the 1,000th Raw. Because you can't have Super Cena lose clean.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? So right, you had to dirty up the finish somehow. So yeah, throw the Big Show out there because they've been feuding. So
I just, for me personally, that would have been a really good match at SummerSlam, and you could have.
Yes, I agree with you.
And and it's pretty hard to do, but you can do a Cena versus Punk. You know, you can do their second match and make it almost as interesting as Money in the Bank last year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's true. Like, Punk has been overshadowed by Cena since he's become champion. And Punk should call Cena out. He should call the WWE out. They should let Punk go off on the microphone each week and just rip the whole organization. They should just do Money in the Bank all over again heading into SummerSlam. But this time, it's the difference is Punk's champion, Cena's not.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I agree with you.
What about the big main event of SummerSlam?
Oh, we'll finally talk about Brock Lesnar and Triple H here.
All right.
Now, honestly, here is a program that I feel like I should be interested in this program, but I'm not, because I know, to me, this whole thing just feels like it's blowing hot wind up Triple H's ass, and it's just, you know, he's just puffing himself up more. Like, I feel like Triple H is going to go over in this match at SummerSlam, and to me, that's just wrong. Like, it's a, what a waste of $5 million. Like, would you to bring this guy in? He's had one match, he loses after two moves.
I know, but I also believe in that notion that the guy who's taking over the WWE should not lose to Brock Lesnar.
But why bring this guy in and pay him $5 million just to be a glorified jobber?
People are still interested whether he wins or loses. And second
really?
Of all,
'cause I'm not.
And second of all, I'm thinking that maybe the results of the matches during his time with the WWE might have something to do with how he left the WWE originally.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so at all. Why would they pay him $5 million?
Well, they could, you know, this is a very real possibility of how their negotiation went down. Okay, Lesnar, you really pissed us off when you left back in 2003 or 4 or whenever it was.
Well, burning bridges.
You know, you're done in the UFC now. We know that. You are marketable to us, yes, and you are a draw. So, this is how it's going to go. We're going to pay you the money you want, but you're going to follow our rules, and if you don't like it, you can leave.
I don't think that's how it went, because if that's how the negotiations went, do you think he'd be able to wear his sponsors on his gear?
Well, that's just a small fact.
Do you think that think that he'd only be able to do 30 appearances for $5 million?
Well, that's negotiating.
I personally think Brock Lesnar had all the leverage going into the negotiations.
I don't think Lesnar has any leverage at all anymore. He's washed up.
Really?
Yes, he's washed up. No, he'll get killed in UFC again.
Lesnar still draws.
Where is he going to go?
Let's face it.
After WWE,
he was the biggest draw that UFC had by far.
Was the biggest draw.
Well, he's not in UFC anymore. He'd still be drawing.
For a reason. He got killed. Oh. You didn't even see. I watched the fights, James. He got destroyed.
I watched the fights,
and it wasn't just a loss. It was like an embarrassing loss. And then he was done. And now he's looking for his next paycheck. He's going to the WWE. At that point, Vince knows, I'm your only option. What's his other option? To be a spokesperson for UFC or go back to football? Like, I'm trying to figure out.
He could go do a practice roster again for the NFL.
Yeah, like, his options are limited. The leverage is with the WWE. Like, I don't see him walking out of SummerSlam winning. I don't. I think Triple H takes it.
I think
to Lesnar, I don't think Lesnar really cares.
No.
Because after his contract's over with the WWE, I bet you'll find him slamming the company.
Oh, probably.
He'll probably say he was unhappy and
I don't understand why.
Oh, no, neither do I.
They bent over backwards for his ass.
But I'm just saying a win or a loss to Lesnar, I don't think really matters. I could be wrong. I don't even know.
No, I totally agree. I don't think wins and losses matter one iota to Lesnar. All that matters to Lesnar is the money.
But in Triple H's eyes, he's got to think of the future. And if you lose to Lesnar, that could be damaging on Triple H heading forward.
How is that damaging to Triple H heading forward, though, losing to Lesnar?
Well,
putting this guy over that they've paid all this money to. How is that damaging to him?
It's damaging in a storyline sense. This is the guy that's taking over for Vince McMahon eventually.
Who cares about storylines, right? The guy, I mean, let's face it. The guy is up there. Well, he is there, basically, in the hierarchy of the whole WWE behind the scenes. How is losing to Brock Lesnar going to hurt him? It's not. It's not going to hurt him one iota.
I guess I just don't take him as such a serious, credible threat if he had lost to Lesnar. Because let's be realistic here. Triple H was the guy that has almost beaten the Undertaker's streak. Then you... Well, let me just say this. This is why I can see Lesnar versus Undertaker at WrestleMania. Because you have Triple H almost is the guy to beat Undertaker's streak. Then you're going to have Lesnar beat that guy at SummerSlam.
Yes. And that makes the match interesting, because here you go. Now you've got this guy who beat the guy who, you know, almost beat The Undertaker twice. And that makes the match going into WrestleMania interesting.
Yeah, no, maybe.
I think it'd be stupid to have Triple H win that match at SummerSlam.
No, maybe. Yeah.
Right?
You're probably...
Honestly, to me, I can't see any sense in Triple H going over Brock at SummerSlam. I think it's going to happen, but it...
Now, why do you think it'll happen? Just because of... WWE's ego?
Because of his ego. Just because of the pull that he has.
Yeah.
Triple H, come on, man. You know it just as well as I do. He is infamous for inserting himself into whatever's the hottest thing going on in wrestling at the moment. He's done it multiple times. He did it with CM Punk last year. Like, you know.
Do you care about this match?
No, like I just said at the beginning of talking, I feel like I should be interested in this program, but I'm just not, because I feel like it's just Triple H building up his ego.
You mean even when they ram it down your throat five times during a three-hour episode of Monday Night Raw?
Oh, man, three-hour Raws.
Because on that three-hour Raw on Monday, we saw a video package promoting Lesnar and Triple H five times.
Unbelievable.
Now, you're telling me that doesn't get you excited for the match?
No, if anything, that turns me off the match. Like...
Well, what do you think about the 3 hours, Ross?
Oh, you know what? I can see the good of it, and I can see the bad of it. The good of it is we'll see longer matches. We'll see maybe better matches. Like, for example, Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. I thought that was a fantastic match at the
end. No, I'll give you that. It was good.
You know, if we get more matches like that in the 3 hour Ross, I'm totally fine. Mm-hmm. But on the other end of the spectrum, if we're getting a video package of Brock Lesnar and Triple H five times in 3 hours. Come on.
Well, one thing I noticed about this past Monday's Monday Night Raw, which was 3 hours, was more video packages, more moments ago, and longer matches with matches that just don't matter, and it's don't need to be longer.
Man, why do you got to tell us every 10 minutes what happened 20 minutes ago?
I know.
You know?
I know.
What are we? Are we that dumb?
3 hour Raws have now forced me to PVR Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. Oh, you have to.
Fast forward.
You have to.
I'm telling you, it's actually not far off from my way of thinking. I swear to God, I can just watch the first 10 minutes of Monday Night Raw and then fast forward all the way to the last 10 minutes.
Last half hour or whatever, yeah.
I don't need to see anything in between anymore.
No.
It's irrelevant because, first of all, it's never going to be as interesting. It's not going to be interesting because John Cena is not involved, so they will make it purposely not as interesting as it should be. And the matches are too long with no substance. There's nothing in the middle of these shows, of the 3 hour Raws, that are just like going to stand out to me. They're nothing. It's like, okay, yeah, another match, another mid-card guy. I'm just not interested in 3 hour Raw. It has forced me to PVR from the beginning to the end, and I will skip the in between.
Well, it's like we've discussed this at length on previous shows. You know, if they use this 3 hour this new 3 hour format to really build up some of their mid-carders, maybe try to elevate them to the next level by giving them more TV time, then yeah, that's a good thing.
But how are you going to do that? Just by having them have longer matches?
Longer matches, maybe a creative segment maybe with them.
But
who
the
knows?
But in my opinion, fans don't want to see longer matches if the backstory to go with it isn't there as well. Like, for example, Santino wrestled on Monday
against
Del Rio. Yeah. And there's no backstory with that match.
No, it's just two guys thrown together.
And I left myself fast-forwarding to the end of the match because I'm just like, get on with it.
Yeah.
There's no reason to make this match long other than time filler. Mm. And that's what bothers me about what they're doing. If they were successfully promoting these mid-card storylines in a way that you actually care, then yeah, that 3 hours is beneficial.
I'm telling you.
But that's not what they're doing.
You need another Evolution-type stable. You really do.
Mm-hmm. You need something.
Evolution was perfect. Like, going back, I know I'm hitting this on the, you know, I'm beating a dead horse to death here, but or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, Evolution was perfect. It totally made Batista and Randy Orton, and that's what you need. You need something like that to build up guys.
The 3 hour Raw to me is an opportunity to develop new stars, and from what I've seen so far, that isn't in the plan.
You know what? It's only been 1 week, so don't, you know, like, I know. Again, the verdict isn't out, right?
Oh, I know.
So
don't worry, after this is all over, I will after next week's Monday Night Raw, I will tout my disdain for
the 3 hours. How about this whole tout social media, this new social media outlet that WWE has a stake in?
Well, I think it's a smart business idea.
Do you see it taking off, kind of like the new Twitter?
No.
You don't?
No.
See, I do.
I think they're doing a good job with it so far, but here's why it will not take off.
Why?
People have enough already with Facebook and Twitter. I don't need anything else.
But this is different, Corey. This is 15-second video clips.
I'm already logging on my computer and my cell phone too much to check those two. There's no way in hell I'm going to do three each day.
What do you think about these these tout video segments with the fans giving their reactions. What do you think of those?
I don't tune in to Monday Night Raw to find out what some guy in Louisiana...
They're like all people sitting by themselves in their bedrooms.
Some guy in Louisiana on a ranch who barely has internet access.
The best...
And he's just getting off on his 15 seconds of fame. I don't watch Raw for that.
The best part about these little tout videos is... do you catch the names of some of these people on these tout videos?
No.
Like one guy, Smark Henry. That was the best name.
You know, the tout thing works... I'm glad, I think it was a very smart business investment for those, for Stephanie McMahon and for the WWE, and I like that they're going that route of investing in companies with their money, but throwing them up on WWE Raw for, you know, and showing me the, what these people have to say during the Monday Night Raw broadcast. No, that's not what I'm tuning into Raw for. I will go on the internet and view that after Raw's over, right?
But Corey, you could tout and they could put it on Raw. Come on,
and
man.
That's just a marketing technique, yeah, obviously. Course, they're trying to get people excited about tout. But for the reason alone that I don't think people want three social media platforms to look at every day, I don't think that'll take off.
No. No, I disagree with you. I honestly think I could see tout becoming like the next Twitter.
Do you have a tout account?
I do have a tout account.
Really?
And you can follow me at VBW Dream.
Oh my god!
I haven't posted any. I haven't posted any touts or anything yet. I want to see what it was all about. Come on!
I will not tout. I will not tout because the name is terrible.
What?
I'm not saying the word anymore after tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know. I won't do it. I'm barely on Twitter. I mean, I'm not doing tout as well.
Speaking of tout, did you see happen to see Tensai's offensive tout video that they had to quickly take down?
No.
Okay, well, this happened last week, and he's in a car with Sakamoto, and they're driving from, I can't remember the town's names, but they're driving from the Raw location to where they were filming SmackDown. And he did this 15-second tout video where he says, you know, driving with a Japanese person is very dangerous. And he turns around and he smacks Sakamoto and he goes, "Open your eyes."
Wow.
Yeah. Jeez. They had to take that down right away and he got in a little bit of heat for that. But.
What's more offensive, that or what AW said past Monday on Raw?
AW, how do you still have a job, my friend?
No kidding.
Unbelievable.
What do you make of that?
Oh, I couldn't believe he said that. Like, I literally, like, I'm like, oh, I had to do a double take.
Well, first
did
of all,
say that?
First of all, do you like that AW wears the headset mic and that he has free reign to say whatever he wants in front of the live audience?
No, because he's terrible.
I know.
You know, say something of value. Have a little bit of charisma, you know? That's the thing, right? If you're going to have a gimmick like that where a guy's mic'd up, give it to somebody who can talk, right? I'm sorry. AW just, I don't know. He doesn't
you're not
do it
liking
for
him?
I like AW about as much as you like Sheamus.
This is, again, I've said this before. Why are we supposed to take AW seriously and credible as a manager when he's done absolutely nothing in professional wrestling?
Yeah.
That's, to me, the big no.
It's just
him.
Some nobody guy who's all of a sudden now he's what? He's a manager slash agent. If you want to, hey, if you want AW to get over, I think they should give him more than just the primetime players. I think maybe he should have a little bit, you know, he should have like an actual stable of guys that he's representing instead of
Well, they were kind of doing that. Remember when they had Mason Ryan with them there for a little bit and they were sitting up in the, up in the stadium?
Mason Ryan's green as grass, man.
But what I'm saying is there's no reason for me to even care about this, this faction that they have. And AW especially, I don't take him seriously.
Yeah.
I laugh at him when I see him. And that Kobe comment, I mean, that's just asking to get your ass kicked.
What are you thinking? Like, why would you say something like that? It's like he said the comment, then he realized what he said, and then he kept going with it. He's unstoppable.
What do you think about how Michael Cole apologized on behalf of him after the commercial break?
Well, I think that was somebody screaming in his ear, like,
"Oh, for sure,
damage control, Michael, you got to apologize as soon as we get back on there." I can just hear whoever screaming in Cole's ear.
I think they should scrap the whole AW thing. That's just my opinion.
Honestly, I'm shocked as all hell that he's still with the WWE. I would have thought he'd have been future endeavored for sure, especially with Linda McMahon trying to get into the U.S. Senate. Like, that's just not good.
Not
good for her. That just adds fuel for whoever's campaigning against her, you know?
Anything else you want to talk about before we wrap it up here?
Well, maybe a couple things. TNA, I thought I'd maybe hit on a little bit. You haven't been following TNA very much,
dude? I have been following the WWE at a minimal.
With a 10-foot pole. Okay, I got
at
you.
A minimal amount. So for me following TNA recently, no, I haven't been.
No, well, I, you know what?
But fill the fans in on your
Well, part. TNA, they've got three big storyline angles going on right now. Of course, the big one is Aces and Eights. Now, for those, if you aren't following TNA, Aces and Eights is kind of like, it feels almost like a rehash of the old NWO program that they did with WCW. It's kind of like, well, yes and no. It's these guys basically in ski masks that come out and they attack people backstage. Like they've attacked, they debuted by attacking Sting backstage when he's supposed to be in a tag match, in a tag match with Hogan. Then they attacked Hulk Hogan backstage and he's been off TV after that attack. And now they've been interfering in matches and, you know, beating people down. And the big storyline is they're trying to find out who's behind this whole Aces and Eights group.
Yeah.
And they're kind of hinting that it might be James Storm, and they're trying to play into that with the whole James Storm.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to build up James Storm versus Bobby Roode for Bound for Glory, which is TNA's WrestleMania, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So they're kind of hinting that it might be James Storm. And speaking of James Storm, the other angle that TNA's got going hot right now is, of course, their Bound for Glory series, which they did last year. But last year was just, the whole Bound for Glory series was one big cluster. And this year they've really cleaned it up, and it's a little bit more structured. And currently, James Storm is leading the TNA Bound for Glory series. Basically, what the Bound for Glory series is if you don't know, it's kind of like, it's a tournament where you get points. For example, if you pin somebody, you get 7 points. If you submit somebody, I think you get, I'm not 100% sure, I think you get 4 or 5 points. Count out victory counts as like 1 point or something like that. And anyways, whoever has the most points after the Bound for Glory series is finished, they face the TNA champion at Bound for Glory. And currently the TNA champion's Austin Aries.
Yeah.
And then the third big storyline angle they've got going on right now is the Claire Lynch angle. And now Claire Lynch is this actress that they brought in from the outside, and the whole premise behind this storyline is apparently AJ Styles had slept with her when she was rehabbing from drugs and got her pregnant, and now she's trying to prove that AJ's the father of her baby. And it's basically like a big Maury Povich type storyline. So those are the big three angles going on in TNA right now. And the last thing I want to touch on before we get out of here, because I know we're running long for time here, but
is that the end of the TNA report?
That'll be the end of the TNA report.
The TNA report brought to you by Cialis. Only James by himself taking Cialis can be fun. I don't know. That's all I got.
Last thing I want to talk about, let's hit a little bit on local wrestling. ECCW has a big show coming up on the 25th of August.
www.eccw.com. And this one is going to be very...
This one is going
to be fun.
This one's going to be off the hook. This show's called Shake, Rattle, and Roll. It's at the Russian Community Center. Again, August 25th. It's a Saturday. Now, the big main event, Davis King, the Honky Tonk Kid, who we've had on our show previously.
I love this.
He's going to be going one-on-one with the man he claims to be his father, the great Honky Tonk Man, greatest IC champion of all time. It's going to be Honky Tonk Man taking on the Honky Tonk Kid in the main event, Shake, Rattle, and Roll. It's going to be good.
August 25th, ECCW.com for tickets. We're definitely going to be there.
Absolutely.
That about wraps it up.
I would say that we did pretty good.
To find this show, you got to head to smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio. Or at SRL Radio on Twitter.
And don't forget about our email address, onair@smacktalkradiolive.com. You can send in your thoughts, your opinions. Do you like what we're doing? Do you hate what we're doing? Do you like Raw as much as we do right now?
Mm-hmm. And speaking of emails, we did have emails still coming into our inbox while we were off the air. I'm just going to read one quickly.
Oh, yes, that's right. Take it away, Corey, before
from
we get out of here.
Chris in Coquitlam. He writes, "Hey guys, hope all is well. Looking forward to your return. I watched Raw number 1001 and I thought it was good for the most part. Daniel Bryan and Sheamus had the match of the night, but the psych skits were dumb. I enjoyed Damian Sandow looking like a threat and giving Brodus something to do. Ziggler and Jericho, they could have a good program, but it's still missing something to make it meaningful. Del Rio's character is getting meaner and that's a good thing. AJ as GM was okay, neither bad nor good. Punk's doing what he does best. The triple threat was predictable."
Yes, it was.
"And still not sold that Brock has any chance of going over on trips. AW might be getting future endeavored after that Kobe comments, and that'll bury the playa. Tout is good, but not how the WWE uses it." And that's from Chris in Coquitlam. And we sent him a DVD copy of Table, Ladders, and Chairs for 2011.
That's right.
All right, James. Gotta get out of here.
We gotta go enjoy our beautiful summer Friday night, boys and girls.
That's right. But this was Smack Talk Radio Live, back and ready to play along. Hope now, you'll listen in.
We're not gonna be back next week, are we?
That's debatable.
Debatable? Okay.
Debatable. I'm heading on holidays. Hopefully I'll be back in time and watch Monday Night Raw.
Alright, so...
So it's still a yes. It's a, still a possibility.
It's a yes at this point. Okay, I got you.
Alright. I'm Corey Callahan.
I am James McDonald.
It's good to be back.
We'll see you next week. Hopefully.